Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum. Celebrate the opening of I Saw It, Francisco de Goya Printmaker, with an evening of live music, art making, live model drawing, tours, and more. Saturday, April 20th from 4 to 6:30 p.m. Info at nortonsimon.org.
I'm Julia Paskin. Join me as I talk with NPR's Sarah McCammon about her new book, The Ex-Evangelicals, Loving, Living, and Leaving the White Evangelical Church. That's April 25th at the Crawford. Tickets at las.com/events.
It's Wednesday, January 19th. I'm Nick Roman with the afternoon edition of the LA Report from KPCC and LAist. Here are the stories we've been following today. The federal government is now taking your order for free at-home COVID-19 rapid tests. COVIDtests.gov. You can get four. They'll show up in the mail in a week to 12 days. Dr. Catherine Lay at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in LA says don't waste them. She's an infectious disease specialist. She says hold off on using your at-home rapid test until you know you've had a known exposure to COVID-19. And even then, wait a few days.
Sometimes it actually takes a couple days for those rapid antigen tests to become positive. So that certainly affects, one, how you interpret it, and then kind of two, when you decide to take it. At least waiting 3 to 5 days after that exposure is going to give you the most likely accurate result.
Dr. Catherine Lay at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. She's one of the COVID-19 experts you hear daily on KPCC's Air Talk. Dr. Lay also says that with the Omicron variant, rapid tests are most effective when you're showing symptoms. Before then, they might miss an infection. For weeks, the Omicron surge of COVID-19 cases has jammed hospital emergency rooms with patients. Many arrive by ambulance. That ties up ambulances at hospitals when they're needed to pick up other patients for other things. But KPCC's Jackie Fortier says LA County EMS now says the waiting time for an ambulance is getting better.
During the Omicron surge, as demand for medical care has climbed, the wait for an ambulance has been longer than normal. Kathy Chedister directs LA County's Emergency Medical Services Agency. She says response times are getting better. The state sent temporary strike teams and staff, which has helped to bring ambulance wait times down from 20 minutes to about 15.
We've also, from the state, have gotten some staff to be at the hospitals in the emergency departments to help offload patients. Those are good things right now, but we're still not out of this crisis mode that we're in.
She says two-thirds of hospitals in LA County are so busy they rotate which can accept emergency patients from ambulances, a process known as diversion. Meanwhile, COVID cases among healthcare workers are increasing, leading to staffing shortages across the system. Officials report a 30% increase in healthcare worker cases in the first half of the month. Covering health, I'm Jackie Fortier.
And since we're talking about COVID-19 in hospitals, the Riverside University Health System says the number of COVID-19 positive patients in Riverside County hospitals is still climbing, up 31 from yesterday. It's now at 1,109. Same story in San Bernardino County, where the patient count moved up 38 to 1,201. Orange County, 1,232 COVID-19 positive patients in hospitals. That's up 35 from Tuesday. Now the big one, Los Angeles County, 4,799 patients in hospitals. It's up 85 from yesterday. Last time it was that high, February 3rd. The Omicron surge of COVID-19 infections is sidelining a lot of LAPD employees right now. Chief Michael Moore says about 1,000 are out.
Our workforce has followed the experience of COVID-19 and the city of Los Angeles, the county, and in this region where it has had this exponential and explosive effect. That has also grown the number of personnel that are not in the workplace.
LAPD Chief Michael Moore, a guest today on KPCC's Air Talk. By the way, he also said that 22 of the LAPD personnel out were fully vaccinated. 15-year-old boy was shot and critically injured last night in northwest Pasadena. KPCC's Emily Elena Dugdale says it is the latest in a series of recent shootings plaguing the neighborhood.
Red flares and yellow police tape closed off a quiet residential strip of Los Robles Avenue near where the boy was shot while riding in a car. According to Pasadena police, the driver of the car drove a short distance after the shooting and flagged down nearby firefighters for help. This area has struggled recently with an uptick in gun violence. 13-year-old Ivan Moreno Balbaneda was shot and killed in November while playing video games in his bedroom, less than a mile from Tuesday's shooting. Mark Sutton is a local gang interventionist the city hired to help quell gun violence.
We need a new view. We need a new look at this. Because the old ones haven't been working. If they were, we wouldn't be where we are today.
Even though violence was actually down this month, he said city leaders can't get complacent. Covering criminal justice, I'm Emily Elena Dugdale.
One more note on Emily's story. Police in Pasadena have not yet released the name of the boy who was shot. Thanks for listening to the LA Report. I'm Nick Roman. Join us next time for another LA Report.
This program is made possible in part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people.
Support comes from Ciclavia, catalyzing vibrant public spaces, active transportation, and good health through car-free streets. Ciclavia promotes respect and infrastructure for bike and pedestrian-friendly public spaces. Enjoy these pop-up parks for the day in your favorite people-powered way. Jogging, biking, skating, strolling, or simply spectating. Free and open to all, Ciclavia Sundays generate miles of smiles in neighborhoods all over L.A. Details at www.ciclavia.org.